reach for the speed, reach for the whistle, go where the rail may run. Reach for the words, reach for the story, follow the rainbow sun.
To put you to all this trouble. I was in such a rush to change trains, I left my briefcase on the luggage rack. I'm usually so careful.
Oh, is this your briefcase?
That's it. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. That's what we're here for, to make our passengers happy. Now, here is your ticket to Mount Careful.
Thanks again. I'll be back.
Don't miss your train.
Hey, what's the rush? Hey, come on, you got plenty of time here. Hey, tell me, why don't you come with me inside my arcade where you can spend all your money? Hey, don't run away from a good time! How am I supposed to turn this place into a moneymaker when people are always running off to catch a train?
Housekeeper, how's business?
Oh, Aunt Stacy, somebody forgot their suitcase. They just left it out on the platform.
Oh, boy, not another one. Listen, Matt, would you mind going out to the platform and getting the case and bringing it back here so we can store it in the lost and found, okay?
Nope. Bye.
Ooh, is that necklace new?
It was my grandmother's.
Did Harry give it to you?
Yes.
So every time you wear it now, you can think of your grandmother and Harry.
Oh, boy, you need some help over there?
No, I can do it.
Oh, thank you.
There, I did it. Where does all this stuff go?
Oh, well, see, I make a record of it, and then we store it here in the lost and found until the owner comes to claim it.
Do the owners always come?
No, not always. But sometimes they come the day they lose their luggage, sometimes a week later, or even a year later. Sometimes they never come at all. But even if the luggage stays here forever, it still belongs to someone, and you never know when they might come to claim it.
I wonder what's in these bags.
I don't know. Maybe there's treasure.
Or toys.
Let me out of here.
It's Mr. Conductor.
Open up. It's stuffy in here.
It's locked.
Not that one. I'm in this one over here. No. Not in those. In this one.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Tanya.
Mr. Conductor, what are you doing in there?
I was looking for my pocket watch, and I'm happy to report I found it. But look at me, I'm covered with carpet sweepings. All this mess. Who in their right minds would fill a suitcase with carpet sweepings?
There's a name here.
Luella Burn-Doying? I've never heard of her. Why would Luella Burn-Doying want to carry around carpet sweepings?
Maybe she didn't want to carry them around. Maybe she wanted to leave them behind, and that's why she left them in the lost and found.
A very good point, Matthew, but one that doesn't do me a bit of good, does it? Look at me, I'm filthy. Why, I'm worse than Thomas and Percy combined.
What happened to Thomas and Percy?
Oh, didn't I ever tell you that?
No.
Well, in that case, I'll have to put the matter right straight away. Now, where's my whistle? Don't tell me. Oh, I've lost it. Oh, here it is.
It was a beautiful morning on the island of Sodor. Thomas the Tank Engine's blue paint sparkled in the sunshine as he puffed happily along his branch line with Annie and Clarabel. He was feeling very pleased with himself. Hello, Thomas, whistled Percy. You look splendid. Yes, indeed, boasted Thomas. Blue is the only proper color for an engine. Oh, I don't know. I like my brown paint, said Toby. I've always been green. I wouldn't want to be any other color either, added Percy. Well, anyway, Hoff Thomas, blue is the only color for a really useful engine. Everyone knows that. Percy said no more. He just grinned at Toby. Later, Thomas was resting when Percy arrived. A large hopper was loading his freight cars full of coal. Thomas was still being cheeky. Careful, he warned. Watch out with those silly cars. Go on, muttered the cars. And by the way, went on Thomas, those buffers don't look very safe to me. The last load poured down.
Help! Help!
Cried Thomas.
Get me out!
Percy was worried, but he couldn't help laughing. Thomas's smart blue paint was covered in coal dust from smoke box to bunker. Chuckled Percy. You don't look really useful now, Thomas. You look really disgraceful. I'm not disgraceful, choked Thomas. You did that on purpose. Get me out. It took so long to clean Thomas that he wasn't in time for his next train. Toby had to take Annie and Clarabel. Poor Thomas, whispered Annie to Clarabel. They were most upset. Thomas was grumpy in the shed that night. Toby thought it a great joke. But Percy was cross with Thomas for thinking he had made his paint dirty on purpose. Fancy a really useful blue engine like Thomas becoming a disgrace to Sir Topham Hatt's railway. Next day, Thomas was feeling more cheerful as he watched Percy bring his cars from the junction. The cars were heavy and Percy was tired. Have a drink, said his driver, then you'll feel better. The water column stood at the end of the siding with the unsafe buffers. Suddenly, Percy found that he couldn't stop. The buffers didn't stop him either. Oh, wailed Percy, help! The buffers were broken and Percy was wheel deep in coal. It was time for Thomas to leave. He had seen everything. Now Percy has learned his lesson too, he chuckled to himself. That night, the two engines made up their quarrel. I didn't cause your accident on purpose, Thomas, whispered Percy. You do know that, don't you? Of course, replied Thomas, and I'm sorry I teased you. Your green paint looks splendid again, too. In future, we'll both be more careful of coal. Accidents do happen. Well, if my jacket is ever going to look splendid again, I must go wash.
Can't you just clean yourself by magic?
Magic can be a splendid traveling companion to a person like myself, and for such times as heading down the anything tunnel. But when it comes to a wash and brush up, there is absolutely no substitute for the magic of soap. I will begin with my hands, then my neck, followed by my shirt and socks. Wait, I've forgotten my face. I'll begin with my face, then my shirt, then my neck. It's gonna be great.
Bye, Mr. Conductor. Let's go put these bags away. Wow, look at that. What is it? It's a saxophone. Wait, me next.
sounds like the burping you do after you eat chili dogs, Rex.
You know, you're a mighty handsome-looking fella, Tex, but I think it's about time you cleaned up your language.
No, no, that is a totally new rat sound. The child dudes are onto something out there. That's neat. Yeah, if nobody comes to claim it, I bet we can keep it.
Yeah, that was terrible. Where'd you learn to play the saxophone? Underwater? Underwater? At the hippo pond? At the zoo? Let me see that thing. Hey, I used to have a saxophone just like this one. Yeah, just like it.
Schemer, this isn't yours.
Hey, don't be too sure. It looked exactly like this. I used to be pretty good, you know. Yeah, my mommy taught me. And I've been thinking about taking saxophone lessons again. Yeah. It's all coming back to me. Hey. That was a jazz version of one of my greatest hits, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yeah, I think this is the saxophone I had when I was a kid. What is the matter with this thing? It's broken. Did you kids break this? Nah, who needs a broken saxophone? You can have it. Finish.
Sax.
I had nothing to do with it. The only thing I like about Schemer is that he always fixes his own wagon. Now I really must have a bath. Would you two fetch me a bucket of water, please?
Sure.
Okay.
Where should we hide it? There. No one will find it there.
See you wearing your grandmother's necklace.
I love it.
I gave that to your grandmother when I was just a young fellow on the railroad. It cost me a half week's wages, but it was worth it. You should have seen her face. I gave it to her the first time ever we rode a sleeping car. The honeymoon special, the Niagara Falls. You ever been on a sleeping car?
No. No, sir.
Well, let me tell you. It's one of life's great experiences. The engine pulled us was big and powerful. Like that one. And the cars, they were big and cool and divided up into little cubby holes and bedrooms, just like a hotel on wheels. When you crawled into bed, listening to the clickety-clack, boom-ba-doom, boom-ba-doom, why, it rocked you to sleep. Speeding down the tracks, swaying to the left, rocking to the right, clickety-click, clickety-click, clackety-clack, clackety-clack. It's the best night's sleep you'll ever have. Now, that's the way to travel. You know, I think I'm going to have to take a trip real soon.
That sounds like fun.
It does, but we better go get Mr. Conductor his bucket of water.
Attention, everyone! Attention! Oh, everybody, step right up here. Step right up here, folks. Now, there is a new film in the picture machine. Now, who is going to be the first person to view this extraordinary work? Who is smart enough? Who is wonderful enough? Who is special enough? The envelope, please. Thank you. And the winner is... Schemer! Yeah! I knew I was going to win today.
All right. Begin. Oh, that wretched Cuba. He'll disgrace us. The trombone stuck out his tongue. And the trumpet snickered. Tubby, said Senor Pizzicotta. Tubby, I've never heard a tuba play a melody before. Let's hear the rest of it. Oh, said Tubby. Why, how perfectly wonderful. Please, Tubby, maybe sing your song too. The billiphone. And these are the trombones. May I? Said the delay.
The lost and found is right over there, Marnie. If we have it, that's where it'll be.
No, I'm sorry. Your black case just isn't here.
It was brand new. My father just bought it for me.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for it, and if it turns up, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Shame. Oh, it's so sad to lose something you treasure.
If his name is Luella Burndoing, I know where his case is.
Oh, no, his name isn't Luella Burndoing. He lost the little black case, and inside is a brand new saxophone. Boy, well, maybe it'll turn up.
Come along, you two. That water's not doing me any good over there. Put it right down here. Just a little to the left. Whoa! Oh, that feels better. Good enough to tell you both another story.
About a bucket?
No, about dirt and tar. Blech. So come along with me. Oh, look, even the whistle's wet.
Toby and Henrietta are enjoying their new job on the island of Sodor, but they do look old-fashioned and need new paint. James was very rude whenever he saw them. Ugh, what dirty objects, he would say. At last, Toby lost patience. James, he asked, why are you red? I am a splendid engine, answered James. Ready for anything. You never see my paint dirty. Oh, said Toby innocently, that's why you once needed bootlaces to be ready, I suppose. James went redder than ever and snorted off. It was such an insult to be reminded of the time a bootlace had been used to mend a hole in his coaches. At the end of the line, James left his coaches and got ready for his next train. It was a slow freight, stopping at every station to pick up and set down cars. James hated slow freight trains. dirty cars from dirty sidings. Blah. Starting with only a few, he picked up more and more cars at each station, till he had a long train. At first, the freight cars behaved well, but James bumped them so crossly that they were determined to get back at him. Presently, they approached the top of Gordon's Hill. Heavy freight trains halt here to set their brakes. James had had an accident with cars before and should have remembered this. "Wait, James, wait," said the driver, but James wouldn't wait. He was too busy thinking what he would say to Toby when they next met. Freight car's chance had come. "Hurrah, hurrah," they laughed, and banging their buffers, they pushed him down the hill. "On, on, on," yelled the car. "I've got to stop, I've got to stop," groaned James. Through the station they thundered. Disaster lay ahead. Something sticky splashed all over James. He had run into two tar wagons and was black from smoke box to cab. He was more dirty than hurt, but the tar wagons and some cars were all to pieces. Toby and Percy were sent to help and came as quickly as they could. "Look here, Percy," exclaimed Toby. "Whatever is that dirty object?" "That's James, didn't you know?" "It's James's shape," said Toby. "But James is a splendid red engine, and you never see his paint dirty." James pretended he hadn't heard. Toby and Percy cleared away the unheard cars and helped James home. Sir Topham Hatt met them. "Well done, Percy and Toby." He turned to James. "Fancy letting your cars run away. I am surprised. You're not fit to be seen. You must be cleaned at once. Toby shall have a new coat of paint." "Please, sir, can Henrietta have one too?" said Toby. "Certainly, Toby." "Oh, thank you, sir. She will be pleased." All James could do was watch Toby as he ran off happily with the news. "I always thought it was very decent of Toby to think of Henrietta. You know, thinking of others can be a gift. A gift like really being able to play the saxophone. Now, if you'll excuse me, I will resume my bath. Hey, what happened to your pretty necklace?"
"Oh no, I have to find it."
"I'll look down here for it."
Where is it? I can't find it anywhere. Grandpa will be furious."
"Why will Grandpa be furious?"
"Oh.
Out with it, girl. Why should I be furious?"
"I lost Grandma's necklace that you gave me."
"You lost it? That's not going to get me angry. That was an accident. You didn't do it on purpose, did you?"
"No, Grandpa."
"Well, then, let's stop talking and start looking."
"I can't find it anywhere."
"Oh, Tanya, I know how much you liked it. Maybe some good person will bring it to the lost and found."
"It's gone. I looked everywhere."
"Look who I found, Amani. And will you look what Amani found?"
"I found it on the platform."
"Oh, thank you.
"And he was bringing it into the lost and found."
"We found
play the saxophone? Yes, I can.
Would you play something for us? Something happy? We've all found what we lost.
Some serious lesson.
No, man. That's someone who really knows how to play the sax.
Let's all play. We can learn something from this boy.
There was a desperado from the wild and woolly west. He came in from Chicago just to give the West a rest. He wore a big sombrero and two guns beneath his vest. And everywhere he went, he gave his yahoo. A bold bad man was this desperado from Cripple Creek way out in Colorado. He walked around just like a big tornado. And everywhere he went, he gave his yahoo. Just to take in all the sights, he went up to the loop that scaled the tallest heights. It got him so excited that he shot out all the lights. And everywhere he went, he gave his yahoo. A bold bad man was this desperado from Cripple Creek way out in Colorado. He walked around just like a big tornado. And everywhere he went, he gave his yahoo.
Reach for the speed, reach for the whistle, go where the rail may run. Reach for the words, reach for the story, follow the rainbow sun. To a shining time station, where dreams can come true, waiting there for you. So much to see, so far to travel, so much to learn to know. Friends by your side, hopes to hold on to, who knows how far you'll go.